Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we'd love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show's entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. And yes, I know Twitter is now X. I just keep thinking of it as Twitter. Why? Because when they talk about communicating with one another, they don't say, I just X'd you. They say, I just tweeted you. So, you know, whatever. It's fine. It's X. Forgive me. Oh, quick shout out to not only the stations who've been gracious enough to be taking me for over 2.5 decades, but also these podcast networks that have been kind enough to pick us up. We're talking about everybody from Listen Notes to Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, Amazon Music India, Italy, France. It goes on and on. Apple. Thank you, Apple. Spotify. Very big thanks to Spotify, of course. CRN Talk. Radio's been taking us for years. You can go to CRN Talk, their site. They're a radio network unto themselves in their own right. They carry us on their Channel 4. They also carry us over Roku, so that's also fun. But without a doubt, without all of you folks, none of the rest is possible. So thank you again. Again, wow, in our 28th year. Well, our topics du jour, you may have heard. Governors J.B. Prickster out of Illinois and Wes Moore out of Maryland continue angrily resisting Trump. Why? Over his offer to use federal law enforcement in their respective crime-ridden cities, you know, Chicago and Baltimore. Despite his inarguable success in D.C., they're still doing this. So are they choosing ego over their residents' safety? I think so. Also, have Democrats fallen behind by about 4.5 million registered voters because of bad faith messaging or bad messages? And are they perhaps hurting themselves by insisting that it's only the former? It's true. I mean, the Democrats lost like 2.1 million registered voters, while the GOP gained 2.4. So they fell behind by 4.5 million registered voters. Don't believe me? Read the New York Times. And, of course, they're never wrong. Well, the only time they're wrong is when, they're being negative about the side, not liberal. But if they say something negative about their own, you know they're telling the truth because it kills them to do so. You know, there is a massive tidal wave of reality must have hit for them to ever have to acknowledge things not going well for their own side. This is a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. Well, back to the earlier topic. Democrat governors Pritzker and Moore, again of Illinois and Maryland respectively, they think by disconnectedly saying that Trump's federal help would equal a quote-unquote dictator's militarization, that somehow the label lets them off the hook for continued criminal-friendly law enforcement. But does it work? I mean, really, does that crap work? Does fictionally labeling the people's entitled protection from criminals as a dictator's militarization actually fly with the people themselves? You got to be kidding me. Oh, they're going to see a tank. Come on. They're going to see all these guns, people wearing guns. You know, come on. Kids often see tons of armed security officers at airports when they and their parents catch flights to Disney or other vacation spots. And you know what? We never hear of their psychotic breakdowns. I mean, is this maybe just another example of conjured secondary measures used to dodge the primary one their arguments otherwise cannot satisfy? I think so. Well, just look at these yutzes. I mean, given that Chicago, for instance, just experienced 54 shootings, leaving 7 dead, by the way, all over the Labor Day weekend, and of course with most assailants still at large, with all that happening, does Governor Pritzker's claim that no help is needed perhaps ring a skosh hollow? Just a bit, a little bit. Also, you got Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. He fired off an executive order that pretty much forces their police department not to cooperate with the federal authorities who might be sent to help. He said, quote, "We will protect our Constitution. We will protect our city. And we will protect our people." How can this schmuck promise to protect the very Constitution, city, and people he's endangering with compromised law enforcement and anemic prosecutions? I mean, their no-cash bail system is up the yazoo. I mean, it allows criminals to walk free with no leverage applied to show up for court. I mean, how does that status quo offer their citizenry any real hope for improved safety? How? As a matter of language, how? I don't see it. And, you know, this putz was recently pressed by MSNBC's Joe Scarborough, of all people, quite recently, asked about perhaps the usefulness of more police on the streets. I think the number that he threw out there was 5,000. And what did Mayor Johnson say? He said the real problem was a lack of, quote-unquote, affordable housing. Affordable housing. How the hell does planning affordable housing offer real-time protection for the, I don't know, the mother of two at a traffic light confronted by a gun waved in her face before getting carjacked? Oh, no, no. Hold on there, young man. We have affordable housing to offer here. Don't worry, man. We'll take care of you in just a few years. Maybe we can fix it so this guy won't wave a gun in front of you. You know what? If you really believe that going for the root causes is really a viable argument, then do it alongside the immediate need of protection for folks who are currently inflicting their threats and their assaults and their attacks and their rapes and their murders upon the innocent. Do it alongside, but not instead of. What's this instead of crap? What a load of sophistry. They think these people are still buying this stuff, using secondary measures to avoid the primary one they otherwise cannot satisfy. I'm sorry. People are catching on to this crap. You know? Oh, militarization. Give me a break. And when asked why they refuse to let Trump help with the National Guard, what's their response? Both Governor Pritzker and Mayor Johnson say they don't want their people under siege. But man, isn't that what they already are? Aren't they already under siege? Mayor Johnson further said, "We do not want to see tanks on our streets. We do not want to see families ripped apart. We do not want grandmothers thrown into the back of unmarked vans. We don't want to see homeless Chicagoans harassed or disappeared by federal agents." I mean, come on. Again, aren't these presuppositions masquerading as settled arguments versus showing how said arguments were ever factually settled? In other words, aren't they repeatedly using manufactured labels in lieu of arguments they otherwise cannot satisfy? This is ancient 2,400-year-old Athenian sophistry. Nothing but. And they're not alone. Democrat Maryland Governor Wes Moore also rejected Trump's help. Doesn't need any help cleaning up Baltimore's blood-soaked streets. He said, quote, "There are a lot of people right now who have Baltimore on their mind. There's a lot of people right now who are trying to downplay and disrespect Baltimore for their own political gain because they'd rather talk about Baltimore than actually do anything to support Baltimore." Trump wants to help do something for Baltimore by having fewer of them killed. Fewer of them having other forms of violence inflicted upon them. Fewer of them being carjacked, you schmuck. He brought about a 87 reduction. Actually, it's gone up. I understand it's now over 90-some-odd percent reduction in carjackings. Over 50% reduction in violent crime. And Moore added that, I respect people who are willing to actually get into the work and lift up communities instead of people who use high purchases to look down on them. Yeah, Trump called Baltimore a hellhole and a deathbed, sure. But is Trump really showing the residents disrespect at all by criticizing the government for having endangered them with, again, criminal-friendly law enforcement? No, no. He's not showing disrespect for the residents. He's showing anger against the government, showing disrespect for those residents. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show.
Hi, this is Anna D'Souza, television host and lifestyle expert. If you're still scrambling to get ready for back to school, don't worry. You can still get it all done without the stress. I like to keep it simple. One trip, one store, and a short list. Target makes it so easy. Their 20 for $20 list covers all the teacher must-haves, pencils, glue, scissors, crayons, notebooks, all in one stop. For lunches, parents can grab good and gather favorites like organic applesauce pouches, fruit strips, yogurt pouches, sun butter sandwiches, and fresh mandarins. Everything is easy to pack, budget friendly, and kid approved. First day outfits are easy with Cat and Jack mix and match staples and a great backpack like the Champion Estate. And for older students heading to college, Target's Room Essentials line has everything from shower caddies and towels to a storage ottoman and even a cute mug for their morning coffee. Head to your nearest Target store or visit Target.com or the Target app to find all the great ways to save and check out Target Circle for additional.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song, Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer, Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Here's Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could buy your... Whoa, look at this, Oh, some interesting stuff just came across me. Don't mind me pausing myself. That's a bad habit. I got to try to extricate myself from that proclivity. Just some interesting things. I'll get to them in just a bit. What I do want to do, however, is focus on what we are discussing right now, and it's just really a head shaker why it is, almost counterintuitive, if you will, why it is the governors would turn down a free hand when it comes to bringing about, hopefully, the reduction of violence and killings in their cities. Governors J.B. Prickster of Illinois, as well as Wes Moore out of Maryland, continuing to angrily resist Trump over his offer to use federal law enforcement in their respective crime-ridden cities of Chicago and Baltimore. And this is despite the guy's inarguable success in D.C. I mean, are they choosing ego over their residents' safety? I mean, Mayor Muriel Bowser wasn't originally crazy about Trump weighing in with a federal takeover of the city, but even she acknowledged, hey, you know, crime's down, we appreciate it, murder's down, we appreciate it, carjackings dropped 87%. Of course, now that total has gone up to over 90%, but at the time she thanked him, it was around 87% in drop. It's a big deal. I mean, that's a major before and after. And he wants to bring this assistance to the cities of Chicago and Baltimore in Illinois and Maryland, respectively. But these governors are saying, nout. They will not, as those in Yorkshire might say. And they're not having it. And it stretches credulity to the snapping point as to why that is. And not only that, when defending the status quo, Governor Prickster, again, out of Illinois, is walking around a rather affluent section of Chicago and saying, I see no problems here, none whatsoever. Matter of fact, before I get to my illustrious guest, let me go ahead and share a bit of that back and forth that he had with Molly Line. Apparently, yeah, she's with the Fox News' America Reports. And she reads a statement from Governor Pritzker saying that people in a certain section of Chicago are not concerned about crime and don't want Trump, and then refers to him as a dictator. And I think the guy is functionally illiterate because Trump has zero to do with a dictator, unless language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. Denotatively or connotatively, the president has sod all to do with a dictatorship. But, I mean, I think the left have to realize that our stopping them from erasing our rights is not a removal of their own. They have to be told, not getting your way when it comes to you wanting to tell me what to do is not a denial of your right. I swear to God, you know, the GOP have become so much more of a live and let live party versus the authoritarian little crap cans that comprise the Democrats these days. It's astonishing. The makeover is bizarre. Anyway, weighing in on this was Washington Examiner Selena Zito, and she points out how just disingenuous the governor's being by focusing on the affluent section when truly so many other parts have been ignored and are the, if you will, birthplaces for a great preponderance of the violence that has ensued in that one-time fair city. Clip 8, James, if you please.
Governor Prickster said something kind of interesting. Does this look like an emergency? Ask the families buying ice cream on the Riverwalk if they want their neighborhoods turned into a war zone by a wannabe dictator. Meanwhile, we've seen two very violent weekends there on the streets of Chicago. Dozens of people shot, many killed as well.
If you've ever been to Chicago, there's basically two sides of the city. There is the part where the tourists go, where you can walk around, where it's very, very safe. There's also the other parts, and a lot of that is in predominantly minority neighborhoods, where crime is a really big problem. And you can talk to any parent who is afraid to let their kid walk from their house to their friend's house, to the local grocery store, to go to soccer practice, whatever. They're afraid for their children. For Pritzker to make that, you know, sort of blanket statement, look at this pretty river walk, there's no problem here, is very insulting for the parents that worry about their children every day and every night.
Now, you heard me at the beginning pausing a bit, saying, oh, look at this development here. Well, this development sort of dovetails a bit on what we're discussing, because apparently this judge, Charles Breyer, went ahead and decided to say that Trump's actions using the National Guard in California apparently violated military law. Now, Breyer's been overturned before in his clashes with Trump. I imagine this won't be an exception, but that's going to be the ruling. These district judges have really marginalized themselves because they are more and more frequently getting overturned, if not by an appellate court, then eventually by the Supreme Court. But anyway, I'll get to that in just a bit. We just heard what Ms. Zito had to say in response to Molly Lyon asking about Governor Pritzker, saying Chicago doesn't need any help. Look at how wonderful it is. But isn't he really just taking a peripheral observation, inferring it as if it were a conclusive analysis, and then just accordingly passing it on to the public as such? Assisting in the opining and analyzing, over to the show, Al Parada, a creator of the Bananas Republic Substack, also former managing editor of The Stream, former vice president and creative director for All Comedy Radio, and former Voice of America producer, also co-author of the counterterrorism memoir, Hostile Intent, Protecting Yourself Against Terrorism. Highly praised work indeed. Al Parada, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing good, doing good.
I want to go ahead and get into what you just heard Zito say about Pritzker, and then I want to dive into this recent development with Judge Breyer. Your take on what Pritzker is trying to pull by zeroing in on affluent, very well-protected area of Chicago and trying to portray that as emblematic of the norm as a way to undercut Trump's offer to bring a national force, national police force to assist. Al Parada.
It's pretty stunning when you got, it was like seven people murdered, 54 others or 56 shot over the weekend, for him to pretend there's not an issue. It's like their lives don't matter. Black lives don't matter. Minority lives don't matter. And it makes no sense. The only common denominator these people have, it seems, between Pritzker, Moore, Newsom, is they're all eyeballing 2028.
And why eyeball 2028 with an 80-20 issue that works against you? I mean, the vast majority of the country over and over and over again say they're with the GOP when it comes to law and order. They just have greater faith in them. And when you look at the dangerous cities throughout the country, 19 of the top 20 are all blue-run city. Now, the Democrats love to point out how, well, a lot of these are in red states. It's a disconnected measure because I'm looking at a report here from Axios, no friend to the president. Here's the headline, just a very recent report. Here's the headline. Where homicide rates are highest, : blue cities in red states. And when you look at the map, it's all a sea of blue dots with one red dot. That's it. One red dot. That is it. Otherwise, they're all, I mean, yeah, in Shreveport, Louisiana, you know, and it's number 10 of the top 20. It's number 10. One single Republican run city. But the other 19 of the top 20, all blue, blue, blue. It just seems to me that even if Trump winds up being ruled as, I don't know, overstepping or going beyond where he should, he is successfully bringing to the national stage the conversation of law and order and how badly the Democrats are performing. Where am I mistaken?
You're not. And if you're somebody like Wes Moore, who can be, if he acts a little bit moderate, he might be a player. I don't understand it. I do not understand why he's not like saying, come on in. Because where do you think the criminals in D.C. are going to go now that they're stopped in D.C.? They're coming to Maryland.
Judges can't stop Trump in D.C. because it's a federal enclave. But a lot more discussions about what he can do elsewhere. Although, again, this Judge Breyer has been overturned before in his rivalry with Trump. Going to be right back. Stick with us.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes, an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you'll be with us. I'm looking at the strangest development here. It does appear as if we're being confronted by recalcitrant judges. I'm looking at this piece here in Fox News where the headline is, Federal judge rules Trump violated military law by activating National Guard in California. Judge Charles Breyer's opinion echoed remarks he made during a three-day trial in which he questioned if presidents have any limits on when they can use the military. But, you know, just a few months ago, June, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at this other headline from CBS, reminding me of what I thought, because I mentioned it earlier off the top, thinking to myself, I know I'm right, but I can't pin it down, and I was on the air, but I just had parenthetically said, Well, we've had, the appellate courts overturn Judge Breyer in the past when it comes to his confrontations with Trump. But here we go, maybe for round two. Don't you have to go to round two? I'm looking at in June. Here's the headline from CBS. Appeals court extends order allowing Trump to deploy National Guard to L.A. A federal appeals court on Thursday, and mind you, this is June 20th, the story's coming out on CBS. A federal appeals court on Thursday extended its block of a judge's order that directed President Trump return control of California's guard to Gavin Newsom. Federal appeals court on Thursday extends order allowing Trump. But then it also says the appeals court extends order allowing Trump to deploy National Guard to Los Angeles. Now, I find this very, very strange. It goes on in greater depth. It goes on to say, well, the Trump administration had swiftly appealed the decision and won a temporary stay of Breyer's order from the Ninth Circuit. It held a hearing Tuesday to consider a Justice Department's request to halt the judge's decision while the case proceeds. The Ninth Circuit judges sided with Mr. Trump on Thursday. They wrote, quote, "It is likely that the president lawfully exercised his statutory authority to federalize the National Guard under Title 10, which allows the president to call the guard into federal service whenever, quote, there is a rebellion or danger of a rebellion, or when the president is unable to execute the laws of the U.S. The panel of judges, made up of two Trump appointees and one Biden appointee, rejected the Trump administration's argument that the courts don't have the power to review whether the president is allowed to call up the guard, but they said the judges need to be highly deferential to the president if he decides that troops need to be deployed, citing prior rulings. Now, it should be pointed out that because the Supreme Court has previously spanked district judges and telling them, hey, you can't any longer issue these nationwide injunctions. You got to stick to your own backyard. And the only way you can reach a national influence is by approving these class action lawsuits, which of course have their own points of criteria that have to be met. So it at least slowed things down, even though they can still do it. It at least fortunately slows things down. Well, this judge said, hey, this is only for this, his jurisdiction, but he pointed out that, he believes it'll be replicated elsewhere because he doesn't like what Trump is doing in this regard. But again, when the Ninth Circuit Court only a few months ago said that, quote, "it is likely that the president lawfully exercised the statutory authority," it then becomes a head scratcher to come across today's headline, September 2nd, 2025, reading, "Federal judge rules Trump violated military law by activating National Guard in California." I find this astonishing, and perhaps we can be assisted by the guest just joining us right now, old friend of the show, Nick DeMauro, Chief Executive Officer of LEAD, L-E-A-D, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence. By the way, he's also a former New Jersey police officer and detective and is an international expert in law enforcement for school-based and community prevention initiatives. Nick, good to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
Doing well, doing well. I'm a former Jerseyite myself. I'm a New Yorker and a Jerseyite. I lived in Wayne, Patterson, Fairlawn, Bayonne. Some areas
wow,
were cool, some not so.
you're basically like me. I grew up in New Milford, and so I lived all over the state. So I'm right now in Lake Como.
Oh, now that is sweet. That's one of the wow. Now, actually, I got to be honest with you. I have some fond memories of New Jersey growing up, especially Wayne, New Jersey, where I was raised, but partly raised. But it does seem that state has declined in stature over the last 10 years. Am I correct or am I being unkind?
Well, I think that first of all, it's a beautiful state. People think they fly into Newark Airport and right away they think that's what New Jersey is. There's some beautiful areas in New Jersey. I think what's happened is the court system in New Jersey has really affected the lifestyle here. And I think that, with bail reform issues and liberal issues, I think it has really hurt the state. But it's such a beautiful place to live.
Well, it's called the Garden State for a reason, right? And I'll leave it there. And I do remember fondly, Wayne, New Jersey is a very pretty area. So is Fairlawn. Now, I was mentioning earlier that no cash bail. That system has allowed criminals to walk free with no leverage applied to show up for court. Is that too much of a generalization on my part? I mean, I'm of course looking at the cities of Chicago, Illinois, and Baltimore, Maryland. Your sense of it?
I agree. I think it's a problem. I think that, you know, it shouldn't be anything other than keeping our country safe. And I'm a centrist, and I believe that our number one goal in life should be to keep everyone safe. And when I'm seeing laws enacted or enforced or there or lack thereof because of really bad decisions, it's amazing how someone can commit murder and be out on the street the next day. It just can't be realistic.
No, it's like we're just not getting our money's worth as taxpayers. Now, let me ask you this. I just mentioned that this Judge Charles Breyer, brother of former Supreme Court Justice Breyer, has ruled that Trump violated military law by activating the National Guard in California. But a few months ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, not a right-wing appellate court. I mean, historically, it's got the greatest record of turnovers of any of them, of these appellate courts, because they're so often more inclined to go hard left than anywhere. But they overruled Breyer in June, saying that, quote, it is likely that the president lawfully exercised the statutory authority to federalize the National Guard under Title 10, which allows the president to call the Guard into federal service whenever, quote, there is a rebellion or danger of its rebellion. Or danger of a rebellion, or when the president is unable to, quote-unquote, execute the laws of the U.S. In other words, you had federal buildings there that needed protection, and the local constabulary were not going to be able to do it. So we had the federal people there freeing up the local police force to take care of other matters. It seems to me that this should have restrained Judge Breyer to a greater degree than it has. Now, again, it did acknowledge that, you know, the judiciary has the right to determine or to weigh in on to what extent a president can exercise this authority. So, it disagreed with Trump saying there was no role, there was no, you know, if you will, role for the judiciary in this regard, or what do they call it, judicial, there was no judicially reviewable component to this question. That was the president's position. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, we disagree with you on that. There is a role for the judiciary, but we do believe in this instance, quote unquote, it is likely that the president lawfully exercised his statutory authority. Why is it, in your estimation, that this Judge Breyer didn't seem to appropriately factor that admonishment in his latest take on this? Your sense of it, sir?
My sense of it is he's going to do whatever he wants to do. That's my sense of it. I think some of these judges are playing politics instead of understanding their obligations and the oath they take. I think that's what's happening here, and it's sad. You know, let's look at this in another angle here, Alan. The bottom line is here: safety is such an important factor for everyone. I don't care if you're a Democrat, you're a Republican. You want to be safe,
yeah?
Right? I think we can all agree on that. The problem is that they, you know, I sit on the IACP, Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs Committee, and, you know, I go to these meetings twice a year, and I listen to all these federal agencies and so on and so forth. And the biggest problem, the biggest challenge you have in law enforcement, the qualifications for law enforcement throughout the country are the same. The standards are the same. Best practices are the same. But in each different state, there are different types of laws that really handcuff police. I don't think the cops in Chicago or where they're having this situation are bad cops. They're good cops.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think people are being critical of the cops. I think people, when they're critical of Chicago and Baltimore, if you will, their governors, Pritzker and Moore, respectively, when they're critical, they're not being critical of the cops, are being critical of the politicians overseeing those cops. Where am I mistaken?
You're right. You're 100% correct.
Yep. These politicians will defend themselves by saying, don't disrespect our people. They're hiding behind their people as if they were a shield. Stick with us.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids' meals too. Just order a kids' meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's HELPPVA.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Well, Governors J.B. Prickster out of Illinois and Wes Moore out of Maryland continue angrily resisting Trump's offer to use federal law enforcement in their respective crime-ridden states, cities of Chicago and Baltimore. And this is despite his inarguable, empirically verifiable success in D.C. So it makes you wonder, are they choosing ego over their residents' safety? And also, we're trying to get to this as well, if not this hour, the next. Have Democrats fallen behind by 4.5 million registered voters because of bad messaging or bad messages? And are they perhaps hurting themselves by insisting that it's only the former? See, because if they always make it about messaging, then they have an excuse to never change their policies. Oh, it couldn't possibly be what we're for. It's only the way we're conveying it. I mean, by that measure, nobody ever has to be held accountable for anything ever again. I mean, it's easy to admit that, oh, I didn't communicate this correctly, as opposed to admitting that, well, we constructed these policies in a buffoonish fashion and we need to change. Now, that would require too much of a capacity for self-appraisal. And I'm going to try to get to that in a little bit. But in the meantime, let me thank for sticking around, old friend of the show, Nick DeMauro. DeMauro, he is a chief executive officer of LEAD. That's Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence. He's also a former New Jersey police officer and detective and is an international expert in law enforcement for school-based and community prevention initiatives. Nick, I appreciate you sticking around. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks for having me, Alan. It's a very intriguing discussion.
I was listening not long ago to MSNBC's Joe Scarborough talking about the usefulness of more police on the streets. Actually, he put that question to Mayor Johnson of Chicago, Brandon Johnson. And Johnson said the real problem was a lack of affordable housing. He couldn't bring himself to saying, yeah, more police would help. He said, no, the real problem is a lack of affordable housing. But I got to ask you, buddy, how does planning affordable housing offer real-time protection for the mother of two at a traffic light, let's say, confronted by a gun waved in her face before getting carjacked? Help me out here.
It's utterly ridiculous to even use that comparison. The bottom line is here that our cops are handcuffed, and we need to take the handcuffs off the cops and back on their belt to be used to keep us safe.
When we look at these folks and their preoccupation with things like DEI, which, of course, is diversity, equity, and inclusion, how much of that do we see permeating the revamping of so many law enforcement tactics in these blue cities? And I have to remind everybody that 19 of the 20 most dangerous cities are all blue-run cities. Granted, many of them are in red states, but that's a disconnected measure in that those closest to those who are being governed are most accountable. Any high numbers in a red state that's contributed to by blue-run cities still highlights the problem of the blue mindset and philosophy when it comes to law enforcement, but especially with DEI. I think the DEI, again, is, you know, as I said, diversity, equity, and inclusion. But the problem is it's a diversity that's against the diversity of individual thought. It's an equity that's against the equity of merit. And, of course, it's an inclusion that's against the inclusion of all. Why? Because it's all racially predicated. So when people start talking about wanting to bring greater law enforcement to areas where there might perhaps be a greater preponderance of minorities versus those who are not minorities, immediately the racist card is thrown out there. But my estimation, doing that is in and of itself a racist act because it presupposes that people of color don't want greater law enforcement presence to protect their own families. Or am I seeing too much into this?
No, I think you're seeing the point. Hey, I'm all for inclusion. I'm all for diversity. I'm all for everyone working together and living in a society where, you know, there isn't any color barriers. You know, I'm all for that. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword, you know. The bottom line is you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to be able to keep these communities safe. And, you know, I coached football in New Brunswick. I coach football in Elizabeth, and I've also coached football in West Windsor, which is a predominantly white area. Right.
So wait a minute. So you're the reason why they have such losing streaks in their respective sport. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
There you go. No. I actually won a couple of state championships.
Oh, cool. Time. Good for you. Cool.
But the point I'm trying to make is the inner cities. I had some of the best years of my coaching career in those inner cities. You know.
But with identity politics, your laudable accomplishment just gets pushed by the wayside, because these days folks are so into identity politics that all of a sudden arguments no longer rise and fall on the merits, but rather they're all predicated on the ethnicity of the person putting forward the argument, which of course detracts from whatever might be the best argument. And I'm so tired of bad faith assertions of racism. Because when you make assertions of racism without premise, I think really you're committing racism in the name of fighting it. Because what you're doing is you're using race to intimidate dissent. And that actually fulfills one of the mission statements of racism. I mean, a black guy and a white guy can have the same argument that might transpire between two blacks, two whites, or two Asians. But for some reason, if it's something that transpires between people who are not of the same race, bingo bango, it must be a racial conflict. And the left seem to love using that dynamic. And of course, it's a process that winds up so often harming the very minority group that they're ostensibly trying to lift up. What say you on this?
Yeah, no, I see the point you're making. Nothing's worse than all of a sudden someone coming up with the race card in the conflict.
Yeah, the bad faith assertion of it. And please understand, I'm somebody, look, I can out-liberal the best of them, not to be confused with progressive or left. I'm, for instance, I'm pro-choice, pro-gay rights, pro-gay marriage, pro-social safety nets. Hell, I'm pro-reparations for blacks, providing it's done within a very controlled context. I haven't got time to get into it right now. But I'm for the things, you know, like we did with the Japanese who were put in internment camps in World War II. You had World War I. Japanese Americans frog marched into these detention centers, even though they were World War I heroes. So, yeah, I can see some reparations. My point, though, is that when you use race as a cudgel in an argument where race has no relevance, then so often the better arguments get swept to the side of it. And I think that's when we catch political parties making a bad faith use of these communities, and it's really quite insulting, quite patronizing. Where am I mistaken, sir?
You're not, but the bottom line is we got to keep people safe, and I don't care if they're white or black.
Thank you. On that, we all should agree. Always a pleasure, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Thanks again, everybody.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.